morning. May the peace of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us as we have come to be fed with His Word, be it through scripture reading, through song, whatever it is, that we could be uplifted, that we could have that desire to go forward to serve Christ wholeheartedly. I also want to greet you with words which we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the snow. When we see snow and everything is so nice and white, Lord, that is how you want us to be. You don't want us to have sin in our lives. You want us to be free. You want us to serve you with all our hearts. And Lord, we pray that as we have gathered, that we might have gathered with a heart that is prepared to receive. And as you speak to us, that we'd be willing to go. If you send us, when you call us, that we wouldn't have excuses, but that we would be ready and willing to serve in whatever capacity it is that you call us to serve. Father, this morning we lift up our government to you. Pray that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, would be upon him, and that it would convict him, and that they too would be able to choose. Make wise choices according to your will. Heavenly Father, this morning we lift up those that would love to be here but can't. Those that are maybe, that have fallen back, that are doubting because of circumstances in life, and maybe doubt has started to come that they're not quite sure even if you exist. We hear that so many times when people are tempted, when they are drawn away, that they come to a point where they don't know. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon them in a special way, that they would get to see that you are still there, that you haven't forgotten them, and that you will never forget them. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in the hospitals. May your Spirit be upon them. We pray for the medical team as they help them, that they'd have the insight in knowing what to do with each patient. We know that you've created us in a unique way. Each one is different. One medication doesn't work for everyone in the same way, and may they know what to do and how to help. Father, we pray your blessing upon this morning. Pray that you would keep Satan out, that he wouldn't be able to distract us. Father, this morning I also pray for myself as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak them boldly. We pray this in your name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Take your red book and turn to number 21, How Sweetly Chime the Sabbath Bells.
Glory may abound because Page 6, tis the blessed hour of prayer. That was page 6.
For text I have chosen for this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus came into this world. He gave his life upon the cross. And after he was buried, he rose. And before he went back to heaven, he said, I will come again. And until I come, I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things. And he also said that he would go back to heaven to prepare a place, a mansion for each and every one of us. And I think I would be safe to say that each and every one of us that has come here this morning would agree with that. That Jesus was in this world, he died for us, and has gone back to heaven. For eternity, that there are two places, heaven, which will be joy for all eternity, or hell, which will be a sad day for those that have not prepared themselves to meet Jesus. For those that have been deceived and don't believe that the Word of God is the truth and that that is the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. So we know that if this house, when we die, when they build it, this body that I'm living in right now, when it dies, when God takes the last breath away, it'll meet eternity. But what will it meet? Heaven or hell? And I want to talk about being prepared to go to heaven. So I have titled this message, How Are We Clothed in Christ? How are we preparing ourselves? In Steinbeck, I saw a sign there that, and it read, when I see the first jogger smile, I will consider running. And I thought that was so true. But putting that upon my own life, what do the people see in me? What are they waiting for? What do they want to see in us who confess to be followers of Jesus Christ? Would they also come up with some kind of a saying? If I see this, or if I see that, or if I see your actions line up with what you say, I will consider. Then I will consider. And as this writer wrote it, when I see the first jogger, so he said, if I see that once out of one jogger, I will consider. So what are people looking to us for? What are they wanting to see that they too will consider the life of Christ? So that is what put the question into my mind. What are we clothed with? Who do we represent? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So here it tells us, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Have we laid off all dishonesty? Are we actually true to ourselves? Do we believe in the lifestyle we live in? Do we believe that it'll get us to heaven? Or is there pretense in our life? Have we been deceived? Not walking, as it says, you're not walking in craftiness, not trying to wiggle our way through life. In a way that we think that we will get to heaven, because this is what I think it should be. Even though the Word of God tells us different, But I don't want to follow that. I'm going to walk my own way and then believe that I'm going to get to heaven. If Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me, that means we have to take the word of God. There is no other way. And when it says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, when it says, tells us to drive speed limit, it tells us to drive speed limit. It doesn't give us options. But somehow we think that, well, what's 2 miles? What's 2 kilometers? What is 2 kilometers over speed limit? When he says sin is sin, what is sin? Are we prepared? Reminds me of when I went to school. I believe I was in the 4th grade. And we all had our own desks. And on the one desk, there was a pencil there, and I needed it, so I took it. And I had that shame hanging on my head for how many years? Many years before I got rid of it. Because of pride. It was only a pencil. It's only this long. It's made of wood and a little bit of lead. But it wasn't mine. And I knew that. But I hung on to that. Robbed myself of God's blessings. Till one day after we were married, I shared it with my wife. I contacted the person. And I was relieved of that burden. And I have to think back, how many blessings have I robbed myself of? And if God should have taken my life during that time, where would I have ended up? And we might say it's only one pencil. But no sin will enter heaven. And if it's willful, that means we want it like that. And I know sometimes we would like to get rid of it, but because of pride, or somebody will find out that I stole, I was a thief. And so we don't mention it, we hang on to it. Or whatever it is. That we're going against, that we know we shouldn't go against. God's word very clearly tells us otherwise, and yet we do that. We need to get rid of that. So we know heaven is real. And we've talked about having taken care of sin. Our desire will be to live for Christ, as stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So Paul starts off here, he says, we groan. We will do what it takes to make things right. We will work hard to achieve what God requires of us and not walk in our own ways. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, it says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. So what is known of us? If we say we're followers of Jesus Christ, as it says here, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. What are people seeing in me? What are people seeing in you? Talks about every step we take in life. How many times do we, when he calls us to serve him, when he calls us to speak to somebody, or when somebody is standing up for righteousness and he needs backing, are we willing to do that? Or do we then go like this? Who's all watching me? Is it safe to back him up right now? Is it safe to stand up for righteousness? Or will there be somebody there that, well, he doesn't believe in God, or he'll just mock me, or I'd rather just pull back. When he talks about, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. We won't be able to back away. If our desire is Christ and Christ alone, we will then do what we need to do. It doesn't matter who's looking or what somebody has said. If that is where Christ wants us, if that is what he wants us to do, we will not be ashamed. Because we know if we are ashamed of Christ, he will also be ashamed of us. He won't know us. And if Christ doesn't know us, heaven is not there for us. Last couple of years have been, very trying times, where God has called us. He's calling us. And I do believe there's a reason for it. When we look at the ways of the world and what is happening to churches, there is a need for people to wake up. Because the world does not belong in the church. The church belongs in the world. We need to be a light. But that doesn't mean that we can take the world into the church. Yes, the worldly people need to come and listen. But their ways don't have room in here. Because if that is what is in the church and Christ isn't there, it's been defeated. In verse 3 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And it's not talking about wearing no clothes. It's talking about we won't be ashamed. We will not first look around to see who's all watching us. But we will do the right thing when it comes, when the time comes to do it. We will be willing. And in verse 4, it says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Again, it tells us that we will have a desire to be right with Christ, to do what he has called us to do. And then in verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Jesus, when it talks about earnest here, hath given unto us the earnest of Spirit, he has paid the price. It is all paid for. When I realize that I have sinned and I repent of my sins, they are forgiven. It's gone. That is what he's talking about. That is what he has done for us. He has made it all possible. We can know whether we are free or not. And I'm talking about being free in Christ. That we're ready to meet Jesus. If he should take my last breath away, I do believe, strongly believe, I am ready to meet Jesus. That I have made things right. I believe that Jesus came, he died, and he's gone back to heaven to prepare a place for me. Are we all convinced? Or is there any doubt in our minds? Because if there's doubt, we're not prepared. Let's take the word of God for what it is, not handle it deceitfully, but apply it to our lives. Not look around when we're called to serve, but be willing to go. In Isaiah chapter 29, Isaiah chapter 29, verses 22 and 23. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face be waxed pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. In verse 22, it says, "For therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham?" We know there was Abraham and Sarah, and they were quite old already. When the angels came to him and said, "You will have a child." Sarah laughed at it. But they were blessed with a child at an age that they thought was impossible. They were too old. And yet, we have to acknowledge that for to God, nothing is impossible. When we face something in this life that we're living right now and we think it's impossible, let's take scripture and read it. And see what's possible or what's impossible. How God led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And in that same Red Sea, how he drowned the army that was following them. And they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, it says. And the army that wanted to kill him drowned in that same path. So what's possible and what's impossible? God has created us. He knows what we're going through. And as he says here in this verse, that who redeemed Abraham, he gave him Isaac, and Jacob came after that, and now he's talking about the blessings that Jacob is reaping because of what Abraham did. What will our children reap? Or our grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, because of the lifestyle that we have lived. What kind of legacy are we leaving? Will they know that we have served God wholeheartedly? We have turned from what this world has to offer and clung to what Jesus offers us. And do we believe that because of our lifestyle, our children and grandchildren will also be blessed? How big is our faith in Christ? What are we clothed with? How deeply are we rooted in the Word of God? How do we understand Scripture? And we know that reading the Bible, we can know it off by heart from front to back. And just knowing that doesn't mean that we have understanding of His Word. Because if the Spirit doesn't open it up to us, it's in vain. We will never understand it. So if we think of that, we have to give ourselves over to our Creator. And that doesn't mean that we will understand everything right away. But the more we understand, the closer we come to Him, and the greater, the more things he will open up to us. If I know that this is where Christ wants me, and I don't even do that, why would he give me more to do? So it is up to us. What kind of legacy do we want to leave? How do we want to live our lives? I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 6 there it says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while as we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. When I think of this verse and I read of how the lifestyle that Paul lived before he was converted on the road to Damascus, where he wanted to persecute the church, and when he was struck down, what was Paul's desire? What did he say? It tells us when we read it, it tells us that when he was struck down, he says, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? I believe that Paul thought that he was on the right road. He was doing what God had called him to do. He was living. The church actually gave him a letter to go persecute the priest, the church that he was following. Gave him a letter to go persecute the Christians. And then when he was struck down, he says, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? It never tells us that he fought it, that he didn't want to do what was right. But when his eyes were opened, or when he was told what, first of all, when he was told what to do, where he needed to go to find out what God wanted him to do, he was willing to go. He allowed him to be led there. And then when his eyes were opened and he found out where God wanted him, he turned around from where he was and he walked the other way. And that is what it means to let go of sin, to turn around, not to hang on to it just a little bit. I can't let go. But we have to let go. We have to turn around and walk the other way. And we know that Satan is out there and he wants to drag us down. But when we are clothed with righteousness, when we are clothed in Christ, the Holy Spirit that Jesus said he would send, the comforter that we have within us will show us right from wrong. And many times that is so close that it is hard to decipher what is right and what is wrong, that we truly have to go to God and ask him, open up to me where it is that you would have me to be. But that takes commitment. We have to give ourselves over to him. God keeps his promises. When we give ourselves over to him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Before we continue, we want to go on bended knee, want to turn to God. And I was handed a few prayer requests here. I want to read them as they were written. And when we kneel to pray, we want to remember these people in our prayers. Please pray for our daughter, Lynette Flores. She is in the HSC hospital with COVID, sedated and incubated. Her husband, Elias, is at home recovering from COVID. The children have stayed healthy till now. Please pray for healing and peace for Lynette and strength and peace for her husband and children. Thank you, Pastor Art and Kathy Weeb. Second prayer request is please pray for Helena Peters, Nee Thiessen. She also is in the HSC hospital incubated due to COVID. So for those of you who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 428 in the garden.
If we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. Thank you for that song. Do we still feel that God is talking to us? He's walking with us? It is a joy to have him in our life. It is a joy to have him in my life. And this last August, we were asked to serve in Seminole at a retreat. And I'm not sharing this because we are somebody. I'm sharing this because God has told us to encourage people. That when we have truly realized, recognized, that he gives us the desires of our hearts, that we need to share that with people that they can stay encouraged. And he was with us all the way. How he protected us, where my wife doesn't like to fly and we had to fly across the border. She doesn't like traveling as much as I do, and when we get to big cities, it always gets hard for her. But how God protected us. The flight was so beautiful. And our travel there and back on a, I don't know how wide those highways were, 4, 5, 6 lanes. There were not very many vehicles around us. And we could have said we drove at a very convenient time. And it didn't matter if it was during the day or in the morning or later in the evening. We had prayed that God would protect us, that we would be able to enjoy our trip. And it was awesome. How he kept the vehicles away. We were able to travel basically by ourselves, which makes life a whole lot easier. And that is the God we serve. And as we just sang this last song, when we talk with him, when we walk with him, how he will also walk and talk to us. So let's not give up. Even with the restrictions coming in again, let's not get discouraged. Let's just take what we can and use it to the fullest of the capacity that God gives us, the abilities that we have. Let's not say that mightness, it's so little, I'd rather not do anything. But let's take it and use it. Let's be encouraged, not discouraged. We know there's a lot of discouragement out there. And what this world needs is encouragement. That we can keep our heads high. That we can be a light. That people can actually look at us and see that we're truly enjoying life. That circumstances don't get us down. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and continue there from where we left off, starting in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Is that evident in our lives? Can people see that we truly walk by faith? That circumstances don't get us down. And with that, with circumstances, we could go all kinds of places. Sometimes when we get hurt, and I think of the one time where I was trying to drive in a fairly large peg. It was very soft ground, and the peg was probably this high on me. And so I'm trying to hammer like this, and all of a sudden that sledgehammer, and it was a fairly big one, it missed, and it got my leg. That was very, very painful. How do we react in situations like that? What comes out of our mouth? Our actions. What do people see? And yes, I did look around to see who had seen it. And there was a person walking across that yard. If I would have said anything bad or rant or raved about it, what would I have left? What kind of image would I have left there? When we have Christ in our hearts, circumstances will not have the same effect as if we don't have Christ in our hearts. We will be able to control ourselves as hard as it is. But it makes a difference. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And then in verse 8 it says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I'm sure Paul knew what that would be like. He probably didn't know what it would be like, what it will truly be like in heaven. But he knew what it meant to persecute the church because he had been there. He had persecuted the church. And now he was being persecuted himself. So I'm thinking he had a very good understanding of the reasoning of a lot of those people, why they did what they did. Because they hadn't gotten to see the light yet, just like he, for himself. Before he was struck down, he was working very, very hard for what he believed in. And after he saw the light, he turned around and he worked even harder, knowing full well how he would be persecuted because he had been the one that was persecuting, put people to death. He was there when Stephanus got stoned. He knew what he was facing. But he was willing to go. And when we are clothed in Christ, circumstances won't keep us back. It didn't keep Paul back. And then in verse 9 there he says, wherefore we labor. We make it our aim that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. When I think of this verse, it doesn't matter. I think of being by myself. And sometimes when we are by ourselves, or maybe I should just say when I am by myself, sometimes temptations want to come into the way. And I think that is probably real for all of us. When we are together with other people, it is easier because somebody is watching. But when we're by ourselves, how do we live? What do we look at? What do we listen to? What do we allow? Where do we allow our mind to go? Something that nobody else knows. We can have all kinds of things going on in our mind, and the dearest and the ones that are nearest to us have no idea what's going on. So whether the people know what we're doing or thinking or not, are we right with Christ? Are we clothed in righteousness? And in verse 10 it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We will be rewarded. There's no doubt about that. The question is, what will we be rewarded with? There's two destinations. Which destination will we be rewarded with? Christ with Jesus for all eternity, or banned? Have we gone through dark times here in this world? Sometimes when we're sick or lonely or someone passes away, maybe somebody's been married for 50 years and all of a sudden the partner passes away. There must be an awful emptiness and the one that stays behind. But there too, it'll make a difference. Are we prepared? For those of us that are married, are we prepared to let our spouse go? Because if not, we're not prepared to meet Jesus. He tells us we're not to have no other gods. When we hold something so tight that we're not willing to let go, we're not ready to meet Jesus. He says, whatever you have is because I have given it to you. But I have given it to you that you're supposed to use it to glorify God. And it doesn't matter what it is. Are we willing? Are we willing to give up our spouses? That if Christ calls them, do we actually, what is the right word for it? Wish them actually to go. And not that I want to get rid of my wife, but if God wants to call her to heaven, why would I want to keep her from it? Because we know that once we get to heaven, there will be no more temptation. Will it be hard? Yes, it will be. But what is our desire? Christ or the things of this world? Choices. So many choices that we have to make here in this life. If we turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2. Verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, as I was talking about already, on judgment day, there won't be no secrets. To God, we are an open book. There won't be no secrets. What are we hiding? Are we prepared? And then if we don't turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. It tells us, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We're not here because of our own strength. In verse 8, he says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we serve him, whether we admit that he has created us or not. Whether we believe there is a heaven and a hell or not, we are still the Lord's. He has created us. He's giving us breath. He's giving us life every second of our lives. We are his. How we choose to live our lives, that he has given up to us. He loves us so much, he allows us to choose. Verse 9, he says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. Jesus Christ, the one who knows it all, is the one that will judge us. And sometimes we say, well, how do we know how he will judge? Take the word. He says, I am the word. I am the truth. I am the life. Take it. Apply it to our lives. And we can know what we will be judged on. Sins that have been forgiven, we know they won't be there. The ones that we have repented of, they're gone. So if we do our utmost to live a life pleasing to Christ, We should be able to meet Jesus face to face, having a desire to be with him, not having to worry, where will I end up? For closing, I want to share two verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service and we thank you for leaving us a roadmap. Father, we thank you that you have spelled it out clearly, and when we look into your word, we can find direction for every aspect of our life. For each situation that we face, you will lead and guide us. Father, we pray that as we continue our life here in this world, that you would lead and guide us. We know that on our own it isn't possible, but in you, all things are possible, and we thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. We want to one more time go and bend a knee. For whatever lies on your hearts, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
From the Blue Book again, page 402, The Way of the Cross Leads Home.
My Lord says, come and I morning. I thank Brother Henry for his service to the Lord to bring us the message. I have some announcements. Please continue to pray for our church and ministerial as they have difficult decisions to make, especially regarding the new health restrictions for COVID. The ministerial have decided to once again close the live church services until further notice. Please continue to check the website for updates or call one of your local ministerial. We will be providing online sermons again. The adult Bible study on Wednesday evenings is to continue as is, and the senior fellowship has been canceled until further notice. We felt we couldn't meet the regulations. We didn't close today because we of the short notice that they gave us, but we felt to meet the regulations, we couldn't proceed the way it is. So please understand that. Thank you.
The way of the cross leads home. That is a joy. Even when there are difficult situations, when difficult things that need to be decided, and maybe we don't all agree with it, but let's not allow bitterness to enter our hearts. Let us thank God that the way of the cross leads home. There is a better place. Better days are coming. And let's not give that up. I want to thank you all for coming. And once again, don't give up. Continue serving wherever God, wherever we're given opportunity, as God leads. For closing, I want to bless you with the benediction, which we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Will you unite with me? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of our sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may go into peace. Remember, Jesus is watching.